I'm excited about Jesus. You know, just in case there's somebody here and the enemy is trying to get a critical spirit on you, I just want to know, we're honoring our graduates. We're not taking it away from God. Amen. We are here to give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, but we are to give honor to whom honor is due, and they've earned that right to have our honor today. Yes. Amen? Amen? But not God's honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just had to say that. You got to clear the air.
Yes. Woo-hoo! Bless God.
You got a warfare every time you come to church.
That's right.
Praise God. I'm excited about the Lord, and I don't mind telling you, I love the Lord too. I think He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a delivering God. He's a healing God. He's a helper. He's the joy of your life. He's the one who'll stick closer than your brother or your sister. He's the one who'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's here. This morning through the Holy Spirit, right now, He's here. And I thank God for Him. He's always welcome here in fullness. In fact, when Abby was singing, I could have been the Holy Spirit. I was close to dancing. I felt this one leg kind of going up and I was going to move. But then I don't know, the old flesh got in the way. But praise God. Isn't God an awesome God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I should have, I think Eleanor went down already, but I should have asked the young ladies if they did really want to say something. I don't know if you want to, Hannah. Did you want to say anything this morning? You don't? Okay. I just want to give you that opportunity because we appreciate you so much. So, but okay.
Yes.
I'll say it for you, okay? In fact, I'm going to preach on Hannah.
There you go.
A mother with vision. I just thought it was an appropriate time to do it since I already preached on Esther. I preached on Naomi and Ruth. And here comes Hannah right up next. So I thought, I'm going to preach on Hannah today. And isn't that something? On the very day that Hannah in our church is being honored, I'm going to talk about Hannah today.
Bless the Lord.
She is an awesome lady. And no, I'm not confused this morning. I know it's not Mother's Day. But this is a mother with vision, and you're right, it's every day, just as Father's Day is every day, too. We honor our mothers and fathers continually according to our Heavenly Father. If you're young here this morning and you're not honoring your mother and father, your lives aren't guaranteed to be long-term.
That's right, that's what it says.
That's what it says. And we need to be aware of that. That's why we as parents encourage our young people to honor their parents, even when we become adults. I still honor my mother and my dad, even though they're in heaven dancing with Jesus right now. I still honor their memory and honor them for raising me and being my mother and father. I honor them. They weren't perfect, but none of us are. But I honor them because God gave them to me as my parents. So praise the Lord. But anyway, I just thought it was important to do, and if you say that the father's sitting there, say, well, I might as well go home. He's preaching on Hannah this morning. Well, I tell you what, this is for fathers too.
That's right. Everything.
Fathers, maybe we can learn a lesson from Hannah. Amen?
Amen.
It gets kind of quiet here, sister, sometimes, and you know, it gets lonely up here. God told Jeremiah not to be afraid of their faces. And I just, something put in my mind now. Dear Darlene came up here and she got brave here and said she did want to give a testimony.
There you go.
So I told her, as long as you don't give it from Larry's birth to where he is today. Is this on? Oh.
I will speak of where he is today, though. I'm very much of an introvert person, serving the Lord more one-to-one than in front of people, but I realized today that I'm representing Larry, and Larry would say, thank you for all your wonderful prayers and support. And when he went to the estates of Roseville, where he is now. We really didn't want him to go there. And I said to Larry, Larry, there must be some person that you are to see there. And all of a sudden it hit me, I'm here too. And I had one of the Bibles that the Gideons put out, and I said, there's something in here that somebody needs. And they gave Larry a journal to be on his table, and I sat down and I copied where the scriptures were for when you're in fear, when you're anxious, when you're because somebody has a need. And I am going to pray for those people that would look at this and, Lord, reveal what you would have for them. And I thank you so much for all your prayers and support.
Amen. Thank you, Darlene. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many people know that God loves the elderly as well as the youth?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The world wants to separate the youth from the elderly, but God doesn't. God wants us to come together as the body. The youth learn from the wisdom of the elderly, hopefully. And the elderly are getting the enthusiasm and the excitement from the energy from the youth.
Amen.
We all have a purpose in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hannah, a mother with vision. So I'm going to be parked in 1 Samuel, first chapter here. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to that and kind of follow through, as well as up on the screen, I believe it is also. But I just felt... seriously, that, you know, how many know that I love preaching and prophecy too?
Yeah. Amen.
I love that. I love every bit of the Bible. I don't pick and choose, but I do, as the Holy Spirit hopefully is giving me a message for each Sunday, I got to preach on the whole Bible.
Amen.
And I felt Hannah was another one I wanted to follow through with from the others today. So hopefully it will be a challenge to you. It will be a challenge. So I'm going to ask you to follow me to start with out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zoam of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf, and Ephrathite. If you're looking for baby names, I just gave you a few here. And he had two wives. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. You know, when I read that verse right there, I believe the Lord gave us wisdom when he said, when he was calling leaders within the church to be a husband of one wife. I really do. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, one was Hophni and the other was Phinehas. The priests of the Lord were there. Now, I just want to mention that Hophni, he was a pugilist, which is a fancy term for a fist fighter, a boxer. That's what that guy was. And he was a wicked priest, the son of Eli. And the other son, which was Phinehas, meaning serpent mouth. What to have a meaning of your name like that one, huh? That means he was shameless, he was insolent, he was selfish, and he was presumptuous. He also was a wicked priest. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, when you read that the Lord shut up her womb, I don't know if that sincerely means that the Lord did it. Maybe she was having some physical issues like women have in every generation. Maybe she just couldn't. But of course, back then, everything was directed toward the Lord. Just want to touch on that. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Who was her adversary? Peninnah. You don't want two wives. There was rivalry going on in Hannah's life because of Peninnah. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Peninnah was relentless. She was relentless on Hannah because Hannah had no children. And it was she's like persecuting her because she was not able to have children. And she wanted to make a point. And that was wearing on Hannah. Hannah was a mother who properly prepared for her children. And we can learn a life-changing lesson from her. And that includes, again, our fathers. We can learn from Hannah. And this morning, I'm going to speak quickly of five things that Hannah did. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for every word in your Bible, in your written word, has a purpose to minister to your creation. And Lord, none of it will ever pass away. It's for all eternity. The words that are written are for all eternity. They will never pass away. So Lord, I speak them this morning, and I ask that you anoint me, you anoint the ears of the hearers. Your word is already anointed, and we just thank you, Lord, for this word, because it's everything in here that helps us to grow and stay on the path, the narrow path, till we come to see you directly. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And again, everybody said, amen. Amen. So this morning, Hannah prayed to have a child. Five things. Hannah prayed for her child's spirituality. Hannah promised her child to God. Hannah prepared her children to serve God. And Hannah praised God for her children. That's why I brought up with Sister Johnson here today and her daughter Sandra. A lot of prayer went into Sandra's life. Yeah. And I believe that's why she is the woman of God she is today, because of the prayer of a mother. Isn't that awesome?
It is. Amen.
Many of us are here today because of praying mothers and grandmothers and so on. We're here. Fathers, too, praying for their children. So, in the day when Planned Parenthood makes the wrong plans for the unborn, let's look at Hannah, who makes the right plan for the unborn. Amen?
There you go.
Would to God that every future mother in the world would follow the example of Hannah. Hannah prayed to have a child in 1 Samuel, again, chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. Bear with me as I read this. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Do you notice something about Hannah right here now? She prayed a specific prayer for what she wanted. She didn't just say, give me a child. She asked God for a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
Yes.
She's wanting that child so bad, praying, and God answered. And she says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give him right back to you. What a woman of God. How many things do we want to hang on to it? We want to hang on to everything we have rather than let God have it.
Yes.
There's many of us that hang on to our finances because we want it.
That's right.
God gave us our finances.
That's right.
I tell you what, never be afraid to give God.
That's right. Yeah.
Ever. 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 And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. I know there's people say somebody ought to mark your mouth. But that isn't what I'm talking about. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. Now, before cell phones came out and everything, I remember when I used to travel on the road around the country as sales, I used to pray to the Lord all the time, and people would pass me, and I'm sure my lips were moving. And they probably thought, oh, there's a guy, there's a... or whatever. But I was praying to the Lord. Well, Hannah was doing the same thing, but her lips didn't move. Her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. That's what we need to do when we're going through a trial, when we feel bitter and anger. We need to pour out our soul to God and no one else. And we don't need to turn to the false spirit, the strong drink, to help it along. We need to go to the Lord and pour out our hearts like Hannah did. She said, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, the devil speaking of, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Amen. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had expectation in her heart. A prophet of God told her, God heard your prayer and he's going to answer it. Has answered it. And they rose up morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Glory. What a good God.
Amen.
She gave God the glory instantly, and she knew that God had answered the prayer that she was going to have a man child even before she conceived. She knew that when she prayed to God that he answered.
Amen.
And the answer was on the way. It took a while. It probably took about 9 months for that answer to get there. But it got there. Hallelujah. So number one, the children. Children are the greatest gift that God can give us on this planet. Look at someone and say, I am a gift from God.
I am a gift from God.
Come on, say it again.
I am a gift from God.
Everyone here is a gift of God. Because
yes.
You, even us older folk, were children at one time. You may not believe it, but I was. And I'm a gift of God.
Right.
As all of us are in here. Isn't God awesome? That's how he perceives every one of us sitting here. No matter what the enemy has done to try to tear you down and make you feel you're worthless and not as good as somebody else, forget all that junk stuff and realize that God says you are a gift.
Amen.
You're a gift. Hallelujah. That's why I don't arrogantly say it. I don't say it with a prideful word, but I say that I am a gift of God.
Amen.
Because God has a purpose for every creation that he has created. Every man, woman, girl, and boy that he's created in the past to now and future is a gift because he's got a purpose and a plan for them. He desires them to live and to love him. But the enemy is going to try to take us out. Why? Because we're born sinners. But God says we're a gift. But think about it again. I want to mention this again because it's so vitally important. Starting this week, God has blessed us with a bunch of gifts, 57 of them.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Wonderful gifts, yes. Wonderful gifts that are going to come into this building in our property, and they're going to be encouraged, they're going to be ministered to, and they're going to be given the Word of God in those little hearts that God had created. God's going to prime them with the Holy Spirit and woo them to Him through the Word. And He's allowed Crossfire to be part of that. That's why God rose up Crossfire, because maybe the children coming here would never go to another church. That's why he rose up Crossfire.
Amen.
because maybe he knew. As hard as it is and the challenges that we face through 12 years, God has had a purpose every single year. Because every young child that has come in here that's gotten saved or ministered to maybe would not have if we had not been here. And every one of them, again, is a gift. In a day when many women are choosing to abort children or not to have them, children can give the greatest happiness in their life in spite of the trials that we face sometimes. Hannah prayed and fasted for a child. Did you hear that?
Yes.
She prayed and fasted for a child. Her prayers were so intense that Eli, the old priest, thought she was drunk. Man, that's some intense praying.
Yes.
That's some intense praying. We need more people that are so intent in their praying. People are going to think there's something wrong with them. They're drunk. They're whatever. They're crazy. But no, they're in intense prayer. They're fighting a devilish devil that is trying to destroy their lives or their family's lives. And parents should be in intense prayer like Hannah. Hannah was in a warfare.
Yes.
And the enemy kept provoking her through the lips of Paneah. First Samuel chapter 1:11 again. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She just didn't pray for a man child, but she gave that child to God all the days of his life. She made that vow to God. Now, some work had to go into that naturally from her as a mother. But here at Crossfire, again, excuse me, we dedicate children. We don't baptize them. We dedicate them. The reason we do, a child can't repent. That's why we dedicate them. But not only do we dedicate the child, we actually are dedicating the parents too.
Yes.
Before God, saying, God, these parents, we dedicate them to you, that you will put a hedge of protection around this little child, and Lord, that you will speak to mommy and daddy, that they will give their vow to you, and they will do everything within their power and their might to raise this young child to glorify you and to live for you, and they will direct that child's life. And that's what Hannah was doing.
Amen.
That's what she was doing. After the birth, notice how important it was actually to dedicate the child to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 and 28. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, which is a bushel and three pints, and a bottle of wine, and brought him onto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. It's good to get the children in the church when they're young. Even if they squibble and squabble and kick. They ought to be in church. They need to be in church. Hannah knew that. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Wow. Hannah kept her word. Hannah did not compromise.
No.
The greatness of Samuel reflects the greatness of his mother, Hannah. I'm not going to read all the scriptures as through the book of Samuel here, but Samuel, he led Israel in its first great revival. Just think, that little boy that God gave Hannah, trusted Hannah with. A lot of work went into that, by the way, by mom and I'm sure dad too, but Hannah is the focal point. He drove the Philistines back into their territory. Samuel did, that little boy. He reestablished worship to Jehovah. He turned the whole country back to Israel to worship the God of the universe, the Creator. He turned their hearts, that whole country, that man that God promised Hannah, that Hannah prayed for earnestly.
Hallelujah.
God raised him up, and he was the one who turned a whole nation back to worship God. What are you doing with your children? Are you pointing them to Jesus? Or are you just letting them do their own thing because you want them to be happy? He set up the kingdom of Israel. Samuel did. He anointed David the king. Samuel did that. He wrote the book of Samuel according to Jewish tradition. Samuel wrote this. Anointed under the Holy Spirit. That was that little boy, man child that Hannah prayed for. And the devil tried to stop her through Peninnah by provoking her and making her bitter in her heart and angry to the point where she would give up. But Hannah never gave up. She kept praying and praying and praying and praying. And many of us give up and we don't see an answer. We give up before the miracle even starts, but Hannah never did. She saw the vision. She had a vision in her heart to have a little boy. And God saw that, honored her prayer, and he gave her that man child. And look how God changed history through that little boy.
Amen.
We need more moms and dads standing in the gap as moms and dads and not wimps.
Amen.
Amen, brothers.
Don't let the child rule the house. The mom and dads rule the house.
No. Amen.
We're the ones that are to guide the children to heaven.
Yes.
With the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
As we get them and train them in the Word of God. As our dear sister spoke. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. That doesn't guarantee salvation, but it means as they grow up and if they walk away, the Holy Spirit's going to be saying, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember the Word of God? Do you remember what Grandma said? Do you remember what Mama said? And it pulls their hearts back to the kingdom.
Yes.
We need more moms and dads that are willing to stay steadfast in the faith.
Yes.
And Hannah did. Hannah promised her child to God. Before Samuel was born, Hannah promised God that child. Think about that. You know, there's people, one time when I was getting ready to fly over to Russia, I was witnessing to one of my neighbors, and they told me that they were going to do in the state mission too, and one of the things that really amazed me is what this person said to me was, I'm afraid my life will change. She said, because I like it the way it is around here. Well, I tell you what, when I started flying to Russia and doing ministry in the inner cities and things, my life changed, didn't it?
Yes.
But she was part of that change. She's the one that said, go. She sacrificed along with me. And it wasn't a sacrifice in the way you're thinking, but it was a sacrifice that we had to be a part for every time I left. And it changed my life. It changed how I thought about things. It changed me about being more grateful for everything I have in life. And it did something to me. And God used my life, and not putting any glory or honor in me whatsoever, but God used me to touch hearts and lives around the world.
That's right.
Glory to God.
1 Samuel 1:11, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Many mothers make a promise to God concerning her children when small, but forget when the children get older. But not Hannah. Not Hannah. She kept that vow. She knew the importance of that son being close to God. That was number one priority above everything, even if the little guy probably did, like every little kid back there too, squawked and bawled when he had to get up and go to church. But Hannah said, no, you're going. We're going to worship this God. I promise God, and you're going to go. Hannah dedicated her son to serve in the tabernacle. No compromise. She did not compromise. Samuel did not go to play soccer on Sunday.
No, sir.
Samuel was permitted to go with his friends to a picnic on a boat ride or whatever. He had to go to the tabernacle and worship God. That's what he had to do, because Hannah, she didn't compromise. If this good God can give me this child, I'm going to be faithful to him right back. Listen to the words of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:28. Again, she says, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. How long is that? As long as he lives. Hallelujah. What happened to Samuel? Samuel was submissive to God and served the Lord with dedication. And meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. He was becoming a young man of God. From a little bitty boy, he was growing up and he was becoming a man of God, and he served and he worshiped God. He was influencing the congregation because this woman, Hannah, said, this boy belongs to God and the world's not going to have him. I'm not going to let football have him. I'm not going to let baseball have him. I'm not going to let soccer have him. I'm not going to let anything else happen. He is going to come and serve the Lord in the tabernacle every time it's open. She didn't compromise. And because of that, it changed the history. And we're part of that history of where we're at today in life. We need parents like Hannah. He grew up. I'm not going to get in what causes spiritual rebellion in children, but a lot of things create rebellion in a child. It can be conflict between parents. Did you know that? That can create rebellion in a child when mom and dad are constantly bickering and fighting. It brings depression. It brings anxiety. It brings emotional problems with sadness and anger. It's problems at school, like falling out or dropping out. It can create a lot of different things, and we need to understand that. It's a lack of proper discipline many times. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child again. I'm reading. I had it in there. Sister brought it up. She didn't even read my notes.
Praise God.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that word train, by the way, means to direct, to control.
Yes.
It doesn't say compromise to make them feel good.
Right.
To give them what they want. Because every child, even like you and I as adults, we want what we want when we want it now. But the Bible says train. We're to train. Discipline is not child abuse. And it's not beating. It's not beating. It's not beating a child either.
That's right.
Proverbs 13:24 says, "And he that spareth his rod." I looked up the rod in the Greek, and you know what it says what that is? It's a stick with leaves on it. That's what they used to spank the kid with if he was ornery. That didn't kill him. Just a little stick. You never to beat a child, but you can spank him.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad read the Bible because I got one. Probably best thing that happened to me too. Put reverence in my life. But did you know children reflect their parents' spirituality? A recent study showed that insecure parents produce insecure children. And in the same way, non-spiritual parents produce non-spiritual children. And could we say that rebellious parents also produce rebellious children? Are you here? Wave at me. I'm giving you some straightforward stuff. Isn't that something? That's what you get when you come to Crossfire. I don't have any bowls of sugar up here. And I don't have cotton swabs. I just got the Word of God because it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Hannah prepared her children to serve God. She kept Samuel at home at the beginning. When the child was small, Hannah didn't even go up to the tabernacle for a yearly sacrifice at the beginning. It was so important to her to make sure that child was trained in the things of God before when it was able to go to the tabernacle. 1 Samuel 1:22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She was making preparations for this young boy. It took about 3 to 5 years back in that time for weaning to take place. So what did Hannah do when she didn't go to the tabernacle? She didn't whatever. I don't know her personal life, but she cared for Samuel. She cared for him. Loved him. Made sure the baby boy is pointed toward God. I'm sure she read the word of God to him. 1 Samuel 1:23, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. She wasn't afraid of formula shortage.
Yeah.
That's right.
She not only prepared for her child, she prepared for her child to live. After Hannah dedicated her son to the temple service, she went up each year to see him. Isn't that incredible? He was in that tabernacle. Mom said, I had to be here. And you better be there when I come. And she, every year. 1 Samuel 2, verses 18 and 19. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. Did you hear that? We just saw little Abby up here sing this morning.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We saw her up here serving the Lord.
Amen.
Incredible. And here we have young Samuel being a child, girded with linen, ephod. Samuel, at that point, he became a priest. A little child. Isn't that something? A little child that God had raised up because Hannah was faithful. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. I like that. She made him a little coat. And brought it to him from year to year. Hannah was faithful. Every year she took that coat to him to make sure he had that coat. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, she would still be an example to Samuel in her personal life with her and her husband. Every year they made sure they made their sacrifice and they were there. And that little Samuel could probably watch them come in the doors of the tabernacle, thinking, that's my mom. Hmm? Think about your mom, your dad. How are they raising us? How are they thinking of us as they're growing? Are they just let us do whatever we want, or do they have direction and a vision for our future? See, when God blesses, did you know that he blesses abundantly? How many know that he blesses abundantly?
Yes.
Paul promised in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We can't even compare to what God can abundantly do for us and supply within our lives and do what we cannot do. But when he does, it's abundant.
Amen.
He doesn't, he's not like you and I. He's not stingy. He's not going to give a little bit of his time. He's not going to give a little bit of his finances. He's not going to give a little bit of this or that. God gives abundantly. He just gives it to us.
Yes.
And he makes it overfill. That's what God does. Hannah had only prayed for one boy and God gave him to her. The faithfulness of God. Her prayer was for a specific boy. Now listen to what else happened to Hannah when she came up to bring a tunic to her young son Samuel, the coat. Before Elkanah and Hannah returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 20, 21. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went on to their own home. Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord.
Amen.
She cried out and fought for I don't know how long for a baby boy and cried out to God against all the odds that the enemy was. She saw the circumstance of Pina over there with all of her children and being given all the portions and glory and everything. And this woman sitting there and mocking her and making fun of her. Because she had no children to keep her, to destroy her faith in a loving God. But Hannah stayed faithful. Verse 21 again. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now she had six children. I'm not done yet. Hannah, Be faithful to the Lord when you leave mom and dad. I know you will. I hope and pray you will. Eleonora, I think she's out of here, but I hope and pray she does too. Because the rewards is going to be incredible. Actually, Hannah had 7 children when you read it. According to the verse I just read, Hannah had 5 children plus Samuel making 6, and then she had 1 later on. Don't ever be afraid to give to the Lord. Your time, your talent, your giftings, your finances, anything. Do it. Amen. Don't be afraid to do it. I've never regretted it. At one time we did, didn't we? We held on because it's mine. I worked too hard. But when you open your hand and say, God, here it is, God sees.
Amen.
And he releases that abundant things over your life. Listen to the prayer that she makes in the great psalm that reflects her prayer. 1 Samuel 2:5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now the Penina, I just read it to you, she waxed feeble. She had nothing else coming in. She made fun of Hannah. Hannah was having children. And Penina, she waxed feeble. She failed. Lesson to be learned here. Don't ever make fun of anybody else. Don't ever make fun of anybody else, ever. Don't ever do it. I had a boss I was working for, a manager in a department of where I was working, and I had skin cancer, and he made fun of me. Couldn't figure that one out. What?
Yeah, right.
And less than a year later, I walked into the office. He said, I just got diagnosed with skin cancer.
All right.
I didn't go, I hate cancer. It's demonic.
Yes.
But I thought to myself, it pays never to poke fun of people.
Yes.
Young people, don't poke fun of older people that are struggling to walk, to do things, to speak or whatever. Don't do that. You're going to be old one day.
Yeah.
Old people like me, don't make fun of little kids.
No. Right.
We know how it hurt us when we were little. We as the body need to pray like Hannah. Look at what God did in Hannah's life. Men, women, look what God, look at your future if we follow the scripture and what God has done in other people's lives. And he's not a respecter of persons. He's even with us when he says in the scripture, in the Proverbs, I believe, is the hoary heads, meaning the gray-headed people. He's still with us and he's still working on us. He never retires us from serving him.
That's right.
Hannah had 7 children. What happened to the other wife that was persecuting and mocking Hannah? She stopped having children. God bless Hannah, and he judged Penina, the other wife. That's God. So in conclusion, I could keep on going on. This is incredible, the whole book.
Yes.
Hannah praised God for her children. Are you praising God for your children even when they're ornery little? You know, one of those hot dogs we eat called a brat. No, it's a brat. I'm sorry. Hannah's prayer became one of the first psalms. Long before the book of Psalms was written, there were very few psalms available. Psalms like Moses, from Deborah, Miriam, David, Elizabeth, Mary, and others that are in the Psalms. And Hannah is in there. But here, Hannah breaks out in the Psalms. Listen to her as she breaks out in the Psalms. First Samuel 2, verses 1 and 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn," and that's speaking of her headdress. They had headdress where it had horns on about 31 inches apart, and they stood up, and that's really what it's speaking about here. She said, and my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation.
Yeah, Lord.
Hannah never quit praying ever. Even after Samuel was a man, she kept praying for Samuel. We never quit praying for our children. I never quit praying for her. She's my child. And we do that as our children. We never quit praying, no matter how old they get, no matter how old we get. We keep on praying and praying. Why? Because He is God.
Yes.
He takes us from the cradle to the grave to bring us back home. And we pray all the way through.
Yes.
And Hannah prayed, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any other like our God." That was Hannah's psalms and praise to God. See, it's basically what she's saying is, none is holy as Jehovah. None is great and powerful. None is as solid and stable and immovable and dependable as God is. That's what Hannah was saying throughout her life. And that's what you and I need to grab a hold of and understand, that we can mature as Christians and walk as men and women of God and become like Hannah right to the very end. And realize we're serving a mighty God, a powerful God, a holy God, a righteous God, a loving God, a giving God, a graceful God. And I tell you, stand fast and watch the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Hannah did, and the results were there. Hannah changed the course of history through her son Samuel.
Yes.
You and I can change the course of our history within our realm.
Yes.
By how we serve the God, serve the Lord through our children. She prayed a vow. Let's all stand, please. I'm going to pray a little bit different as we're closing here. I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to do it. I want to just say this very quickly. Whether you're young or old in here, the Bible, and the Bible is true, no matter what the world will try to tell or convince, professors, whoever they are, they'll try to convince our young people when they get into colleges that it's not real, it's all fake, that they're liars out of the pits of hell.
Yes.
God's word's true. God said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners, we're worthless. There's no good in us, the Bible says. Our righteousness is but a filthy rag in the nostrils of God. And God doesn't say that out of hate. It's because we are sinful. But the righteousness that I have right now came from Christ Jesus when He saved me, when He chose me. He gave me His righteousness, and now I stand righteous before Him. And if you're in here this morning and you've never done that, and whether you're young or old, you're never too young to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whosoever will come unto me, I will no wise cast out." And if you're in here this morning, say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to this Jesus. Before I die or before He comes back," but maybe because you just want to love Him for His love for us first. Is there anybody to say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today"? Is there anybody? I don't save people. Noah preached for how many hundreds, 100 and some years, and he never won one soul to Jesus. He made the offer, but nobody raised their hand. It wasn't his fault. We choose to accept what God is offering right now. God is choosing who's ever in this room right now to come to Him. And if you want to accept that choice, you just raise your hand and say, "I want to be there." Anybody? Just a second here. Anybody else? Nobody? Now let me ask you this. All of us, with my hands already up in the air toward heaven, how many want to refresh your walk with Jesus? You become stale. You become cold. You've become lukewarm in your walk. And you say, "Pastor, I want to recommit today with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I unashamedly, because I love Jesus, will put my hands in the air and keep them up there." And we're going to pray right now for everybody that's got their hand in the air. And you know who you are. If you're living a life And you know it. There's condemnation in your heart right now, and it's hard to raise your hand because you know you're not right, and you should really be repenting. God sees all the hands in here right now up in the air, and I'm going to pray. I want you to pray out loud with me, okay? Heavenly Father, louder. Heavenly Father, let the devil know we mean business. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask for forgiveness of the sins that I've committed toward you. I ask you, Jesus, to wash me as clean right now with your precious blood from those sins. Help me not to, as a Christian, practice sin. Help me to be repentive and to glorify you in my life and how I raise my family and live before my family. And therefore, Lord, again, I just want to say to you, I refresh my spirit and my vow to you to live my life for you and let you be Lord of all my life. Should Jesus tarry, help me through your Holy Spirit to live out my life for you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross. And Lord, I pray right now for every household here, every ear, spiritual ear, that you would open them, spiritual eyes that you would open them, that we will receive your word and live it out according to your will. I pray you touch every home and that the people that attend churches like Crossfire, and there are many remnant churches throughout the land, that you will supernaturally touch families within this body, Lord, and you will meet their needs and let them see that you are faithful, that you will never let them down, and you will bring them through whatever they're going through right now, because you said, I will deliver them from all their trials and tribulations. And Lord, you're doing a supernatural work around the world and every nation right now. Lord, let us be aware that you are on the move so that we keep our hearts and our minds prepared for your soon return. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I love Jesus.